IFM 101.9 megahertz of life.
The basis of our conversation today, this headline in the Jerusalem Post, this is the decision-making moment for the Israel-Lebanon ceasefire. What is the 1701 or 1701 UN resolution, and what are the potential problems or obstacles that need to be navigated here? Well, joining us now on the line, we welcome once again Samuel Hyde, a fellow at the Jewish People Policy Institute. Samuel, good afternoon to you. As always, thanks for taking the time to join us on the show.
Thank you. It's good to be back with you.
No, great to have you on board, Samuel. And of course, yeah, as usual, thanks for availing your time to talk to us about what I've just introduced as our talk, our topic for this moment. So the ceasefire agreement, Samuel, take us through this. Resolution 170, UN Resolution 1701, what are the problems involving this resolution? What are the stumbling blocks here? What is going on with the ceasefire agreement?
Well, I suppose we'll find out over the next few days exactly what's going to come of it now. Mm. But UN Resolution 1701 has actually been implemented in place on various occasions for decades now. I'll speak from my side. My issue with a ceasefire ending with some sort of UN resolution is that the enemies of Israel don't seem to want to abide by it. And when they don't abide by it, the United Nations nor any of, you know, Israel's Western allies mm-hmm. hold them responsible. Hezbollah, for example, the resolution said Hezbollah would have to stay north of the Litani River, meaning they could not actually be anywhere near southern Lebanon.
Right.
But what we know is that Hezbollah has been able to build massive strongholds, massive military bases, and they've done it right under the United Nations peacekeeping forces' nose. They've done this for two decades. Nothing happened about that. We know as well that Lebanon as a country, sovereign Lebanon, which is no longer really sovereign anymore because of Hezbollah, had to be involved the last time this was implemented in actually de-arming Hezbollah, demilitarizing Hezbollah and getting rid of them from Lebanon's government. They did the opposite. In fact, Hezbollah has only got stronger. So the question that concerns me, mm-hmm. shall I put it that way, is are we, after Israel really did achieve some incredible military successes up north, are we actually sending our people, those evacuated from the border areas since October 7th, are we actually sending them back only to be facing the same situation in a couple years again? That could be 5 years, could be 10 years, could be 12 years.
Mm-hmm.
And if that's the case, well, then what was really the point of any of this? What was the point of not just signing a deal 1 week into the war and just getting it all sorted? So I'm very concerned. This is where my concerns come in at the Israeli government.
Mm-hmm.
And to be honest, at the IDF as well. I think that there's many criticisms that could be said of both institutions and many achievements and successes, especially by the IDF that we've seen on the battlefield. But especially from the government, there seems to be absolutely no vision and no program of how to end this. I don't know if that's because for decades in Israel, we've been used to getting bullied by the international community into ceasefires and pauses where we're never allowed to actually win a war.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm just not certain on how, unless this UN resolution is implemented, and when I say implemented, not just signed, but actually Hezbollah is removed, they are demilitarized, they are removed by Lebanon from governance and crippled, well, we'll just find ourselves exactly where we found ourselves on October 7th. And this would essentially be, you know, if you include Hamas in this, this will be the seventh or eighth internationally imposed or internationally sanctioned ceasefire just in the last three decades alone. And each one of them, because it ended essentially with making a deal with the devil here, the very
right.
groups that you're intending to abide by international law don't recognize or abide by international law. These are non-state actors. They're not just terrorists, but they're jihadist terrorists. They do not recognize international law. It means nothing. So you're expecting them to sign onto a deal, onto a system that they are not, they don't have to abide by, and they don't abide by. So you're setting the stage here for essentially religious fanatics to be able to continue their what they call their eternal holy war. You're actually setting the stage for it. This is where my main concern comes in with regards to what could happen in the next few days.
Samuel, your take on UNIFIL. How did they become supposedly a toothless player in this whole scenario? They were deployed to enforce this buffer zone between northern Israel and the northern Israeli border and the Litani River, that buffer zone particularly. How were they overcome all this time as a United Nations force? Your take
on
that?
They've been there for decades. Since the end of the first Lebanon War, they started their mandate. It was renewed after the second Lebanon War. One could say this is the third Lebanon War in some way. Even though it's not state versus state, but they have implemented and done absolutely nothing that they were tasked with doing. And when I say that, I mean literally nothing. They were supposed to keep Hezbollah north of Litani. That didn't happen. Hezbollah was not allowed. Hezbollah was supposed to be demilitarized. That didn't happen. Hezbollah was not allowed to build military bases anywhere near the border with Israel. That's been happening. So this is why I'm just saying, I don't think that in Israel, surrounded by who we're surrounded by, that we can just rely on the supposed promises of the United Nations, which never come to fruition.
Yeah.
And this is what concerns me. I'm not going to just blame the international community for this. I'm going to actually look at my own government and say, because of this reality, what is your plan here, besides for walking us into the same situation that we've been in for decades? So, you know, I think that this is very important because Israeli society is exhausted. But do we want to be exhausted to the same degree in 5 years? Because the only way this really ends is by Lebanon as a state gaining its sovereignty back from Hezbollah,
right,
and the international community basically forcing Israel and Lebanon to get to the peace to a peace agreement, the same way stuff like Jordan and Egypt happened, the UAE and Bahrain happened. That's the way the Northern Front ends. It ends with a peace deal, and it ends with Lebanon. And in order to do that, the actual Lebanese government need to regain their sovereignty from Hezbollah.
Sure.
But without that, and just a UN kind of agreement, we really are setting the stage, in my view, for another war.
Indeed. Samuel, I wish we could continue this conversation, but we're going to have to leave it there. As always, thanks so much for joining us on the Afternoon Overdrive. Samuel Hyde, fellow at the Jewish People Policy Institute.